Blog Talk Radio.
Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Sunday, March the 6th. A few days ago, I recorded a video about the State of the Union address. And this was not featured on our previous podcast. It was featured only as a video. So I wanted to bring that information to you tonight. So what you're going to hear, as I said, was recorded on Friday, March the 4th. And we're bringing it back on March the 6th. Obviously, the information is still very current, and it is my analysis of the State of the Union address, as well as a couple of other points about Ukraine and so on. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back. We'll have our audio of the video that I did a few days ago about the State of the Union. Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, March the 4th, and welcome to our commentary. By the way, before we go any further and talk about the State of the Union and a few other things, let me remind you that we did a great show, a great podcast, as well as a video cast, with our friend George Rodriguez from San Antonio, and we took a look at the Texas primary. George is really on top of these stories. And I thought it was a great, very informative 30 minutes. So I would recommend, if you really want to get your news and your summary of what happened on Texas primary day, check out this interview with George. You can listen to it on my blog. I have it there. You can also check my Facebook page, my political Facebook page. You know, I've got two. I've got a personal one, and then I've got one where I post from my blog and also from the podcast. So it's available there. I would recommend that you check it out. I think, George, we did a great job. Both of us, I think, did a great job analyzing what is going to happen or what is the consequence, I should say, of what happened on Texas primary day on the first of March. Well, let's take a look at the president's State of the Union. Look, I think there were really two speeches. The speech about Ukraine, and then the speech about domestic topics. I should add up front that I learned something today, which is very interesting, that most of the people who watch State of the Union addresses tend to be from the party of the president. So whoever is in power, you tend to watch the State of the Union if you voted for that person more or less than if you didn't. So it's just an interesting detail that I learned over the last day. And I learned it in the context of a CNN poll that came out, basically saying that most people were not happy with the speech. But let's look at the speech in detail. As I said, there were two speeches. The first one was about Ukraine. And I honestly thought he did a decent job on that. What I mean by a decent job is that you don't really have a lot of options right now on Ukraine. Your best options were before he went in. But once he's in, you're down to basically economic sanctions. And I think we're doing okay with that. I suppose there could always be more. But I think so far, the sanctions that we are taking, particularly going after their banking system and all of that, I think that is probably the right direction. We will see, of course, whether or not these sanctions work. I don't know the answer to that, but it is going to get very difficult in the Soviet Union, or in Russia. It's interesting because the Soviet Union didn't exist. I mean, it went out 30 years ago, but Russia right now, particularly Putin, is reminding so many of us of the Soviet Union that sometimes you get the feeling that it's the Soviet Union, not Russia, because you didn't expect Russia to act this way. But clearly Putin, who is a disciple of the Soviet Union, is acting this way. But anyway, back to the speech. The Ukraine portion of the speech I thought was okay. I really don't have any problem with what he's doing. I think there's a general bipartisan consensus in the country that we should stick it to Russia with sanctions, but stay out of Russia or stay out of the Ukraine with our military. I think that's the consensus. Stick it to Russia with sanctions, but stay out of Ukraine with our military forces. That's clearly where we're going with all of this. So I'm going to give the president a good grade for Ukraine, not before Putin decided to invade Ukraine. That's another story. That's another debate. But clearly right now, I think he's doing about as much as anybody could do. Again, we're down to economic sanctions. And my concern, and that's the next part of the speech, the domestic policy, my concern is that some of those sanctions are going to make the American domestic situation even worse. Let's talk about that part of the speech, because that's where I felt, honestly, after he stopped talking about Ukraine and started talking about the country, I had the feeling I was watching a Twilight Zone episode. I mean, it was bizarre. It was bizarre. For example, let's talk about gasoline prices. I just paid $3.45 this week. The same station 2 days later was up to $3.59. And I was driving around and seeing that a lot of places are over $3.50. That is killing the American family budget. I've said this a million times, but it's true. The American family budget is getting killed by these gasoline prices, because it impacts everything. If gasoline goes up, everything else goes up. And that's where the inflation component comes in. But the president did not say or offer any solution whatsoever to the inflation problem, to the gasoline prices. He says he's going to release X number of barrels from our security inventory. Well, the problem with that is that what he's going to release is basically a day and a half of supply. So that's not going to have any impact whatsoever on the market for gasoline. So he didn't have any idea on what he's going to do about gasoline other than promising to release these barrels, but these barrels are completely insignificant about the impact that they will have on the price. He didn't say anything about promoting production in the United States, which is really the answer. We got to go back to the Trump policy of producing oil so that we've got enough oil so that we can determine our future with our oil, not depend on Putin to use it as a weapon against the West. He didn't say anything about production in the United States. He didn't say anything logical about what is happening on the border. The border with Mexico, that is, the total complete chaos that is happening down on the border. And if you want to understand, speaking about the Texas primary, if you want to understand why the Republicans are doing so well in what used to be Democrat South Texas, reason number one is the chaos, the insanity of what's happening on the border. So he didn't have any solutions for any of that. When he talked about, for example, defund the police, yes, it is true that President Biden never said defund the police, but the people in his party have done that. And the Democrats running many of our major cities have spoken about defunding the police. And the consequence of all this talk about defunding the police has been an explosion of crime in the cities run by the Democrat Party. And who are the victims of this crime? Black people who live in those communities. He didn't talk about any of this. He didn't talk about any solution to our crime problem, to our inflation problem. He didn't even talk about Afghanistan. Didn't mention a word. Didn't even honor the service or the 13 Marines who were killed in Afghanistan as we were leaving the country. Didn't talk about any of that. I mean, just absolutely insane, the speech. So I think overall, the speech is not going to move the needle one way or the other. Again, I think there is bipartisan consensus with Ukraine, and I'll give the president credit on that. But beyond that, this speech didn't do much of anything to change much of anything. We are politically exactly where we were before the speech, because again, the policies of this administration are hurting the American people. And that's the reason why he's upside down in most of the polling data. Now, let me tell you something about the Texas primary. There's two big runoff elections, one in the whole state, of course, for attorney general, between Mr. Paxton, the current attorney general, and George Bush, the land commissioner. And that's going to be the one that you're going to see all over the TV and all over the radio. They are going to spend millions on that one. And who will win, I cannot tell you right now. I mean, clearly Paxton has a head start because he got 42% in the first round. But I think the key, as we discussed with George Rodriguez in our podcast about the Texas primary, the key is what happens with the 58% who didn't vote for Attorney General Paxton. What direction do they go? We don't know yet. We don't know yet how, for example, the people who voted for Representative Gohmert, we don't know how they're going to vote. We don't know how the people who voted for Mrs. Guzman are going to vote. We don't know. But those two people, Guzman and Gohmert, they make up about 30% of the vote. So, I mean, that's a lot of people. So if those two candidates endorse either one, Paxton or Bush, that could alter the race significantly. Now, I got to say one thing, speaking about oil production. Senator Manchin of West Virginia is out today with, I think, a very sensible recommendation, which is to stop buying oil from Russia. And that's a very sensible recommendation. He's encouraging, you know, Senator Manchin is somewhat of a rare Democrat, but he's encouraging more production in the United States, and it makes a lot of sense. I've been saying that for quite some time. So we need more production in the United States. That doesn't mean, because I know I'm going to get some email from somebody saying that I'm a climate change denier. No, I'm not. That's not what I'm saying, folks. But you don't do climate change at the expense of your manufacturing or your national security, because then you're not going to have climate change and you're not going to have a country. So don't send me emails saying that I'm a climate change denier, because I'm not. There is climate change. But there's also a sensible approach to implementing many of these ideas, and you don't do it from one day to the other because we're not ready. We don't have the technology to run a manufacturing operation like the United States on green energy or solar panels or anything like that. We're not there. And don't tell me about electric cars, because you got to charge the electric car and you got to put electricity in that electric car, and that comes from power plants running on fossil fuels. So that's just the reality. So I agree with Senator Manchin. I agree with Senator Manchin that we have got to produce more oil, more natural gas, so that we control our future, not put it in the hands of Putin, who, by the way, just signed a big deal with China, and they're going to be selling coal to each other. So, you know, that's just the way it is. Obviously, they believe in investing in that stuff, and we need to be ready. We need to be ready to protect the American people and the American economy. So anyway, want to thank you for listening. We're going to do a podcast on Friday night. I'm going to recommend that you check this out. It'll be available late Friday night for listening. We're going to do a podcast with Barry Castleman. Barry is the Prairie editor, a very well-known political analyst who's been following elections for almost 60 years. He's had his own newspapers, and now he has a internet page called the Prairie Editor. He's one of the best political analysts in the country, and he's going to be joining us Friday night for a talk about the State of the Union, Ukraine, and some of the other factors looking ahead at 2022. So check that out. It'll be available, as I say, later on my blog, my Facebook page, and some of the other places where you follow my stuff. Thank you for listening. And if today is your birthday, happy birthday. Bye-bye, everybody.